so you may be safe. Aziza smiled as the threat of tears stung her eyes. Her family. She wouldn't be able to live without them. Why are you still here? I thought you were spending the night at Hills, so we won't wake you up when we come home in the wee hours. That can wait, my dear. Pin walked over and wrapped her arms around Aziza's waist. You cannot. I'm fine, Aziza said quickly, though her chin wobbled. Greg came up and put his arms around both of them.
Aziza, a woman died in your arms. You and Brandon had the biggest fight of your new romance, and that was only last night. Today, Adam Singh's arrived. You can't possibly be fine.
When Pin held her tighter, Aziza tried to shake off the violent emotion churning through her. Okay, yes. I'm mad, but I didn't know her. I mean, I want to stop them before they could do it again, but, and this might make me sound like a bad person, I'm just thankful it wasn't either of you. If it had been, if she'd had to hold Greg or Pin in her arms and feel their pain as they died, she'd have lost her mind. She hadn't told them about the pain. Maybe she never would. It would only make them worry about her more. Her brother Tariq's words from that dream, the one where she saw what could happen, the one that haunted her, sprang to her mind. You think you don't care. Think you can't, but you're wrong. You'll feel it in your bones. Each life that is ended because of your inaction will boil in your blood, burn up your soul. She'd felt the agony that girl had gone through. All of it, as if it were her own. Was that what he'd meant when he'd talked about her inaction? But she hadn't known about the victims until one of them had fallen into her lap. She hadn't known because Brandon hadn't told her. She should have known. Why didn't Brandon tell me about the murders? And why am I crying? She sniffed. I hate crying. Pin and Greg walked her over to the bed and sat down on either side of her. Pin took her hand. Hill says male werewolves have a difficult time thinking logically when they find a person they're intensely attracted to. All their urges are primal. Claim. Protect. Defend.
The me Tarzan you Jane excuse, Greg intoned. Very romantic.
Werewolf urges sounded more robotic than her own fireborn desires. She pushed down the guilt that came when she thought about her very recent fantasy. Pin shushed him. It is, though, isn't it? And he's suffered for it. Hill tells me that the Alpha has been ruthless with Brandon, dressing him down in front of the other enforcers, calling him in for every assignment, all because he won't do the two things his father asked him to. What two things? Aziza wiped her eyes with her free hand and leaned her head on Greg's shoulder. Bring you in for introductions, and Ram in for interrogation. Bristling, Aziza growled. I really want to give that Alpha a piece of my mind. I told Brandon I'd meet with him whenever he wanted. I also told him Ram has nothing to do with what happened to those girls. Pin stilled. You did? Hillary was with him today, and she said Brandon refused on your behalf yet again. Said the vessel shouldn't be forced to do anyone's bidding. Then mentioned something about the enforcers needing your help more than his father needed a publicity stunt. Aziza's eyes widened. Brandon had told her he would take care of it. Was that what he'd meant? Damn it. He was still trying to protect her. And since he was supposedly in the grip of primitive werewolf mating urges, she couldn't decide whether to kiss him or punch him for it. Pin, when you see Hillary tonight, tell her to make an appointment for me to meet the Alpha. I want to meet him as soon as possible. I'm ready. Pin smiled. My brave girl. What can it hurt to give the man what he wants? I'll shake his hand, get the introductions over with, and force myself not to poke him in his Alpha eyes. Aziza stood up, laughing despite her tears. And I'm not that brave. I don't think I can open Adam's box without both of you at my side.
The two of them sent encouraging expressions as she walked over to the side of the bed, studying the box. Years ago, she'd packed it away in the attic without opening it because she hadn't had the heart after losing so many people she loved. It was a long shot. But since she'd found Tariq's file among his personal things, maybe there'd be some clue in Adam's. Aziza's fingers were shaking as she tore at the packing tape and opened the box. Her vision blurred and tears spilled down her cheeks as she picked up the faded leather wallet on top, gripping it tightly in her hands. It struck her again. How could the contents of one small box be all that was left of the man whose energy had always filled a room? She set the wallet down and reached for Adam's other things. Keys, an empty mini tape recorder, airplane tickets for the return home that he'd never gotten to use. All of them treasures that reminded her of her smiling brother, with his eyes a lighter blue, more like their mother's than her own, and the curious mind that always had him looking for the next story, the next puzzle, the next challenge. Aziza wrapped her fingers around a roll of film. There was no vial of sand, no letter for her taped to anything or hidden at the bottom of the box. Some part of her had known it wouldn't be that easy, but she'd hoped that part was wrong. She picked up his wallet again and opened it, knowing exactly what she would find. A faded picture, torn at the corner, of her family. The serious Tariq and the smiling Adam stood behind her and her mother while Joseph leaned into the shot and made a face. It had always been her favorite snapshot, the one that made her family seem normal, happy. Even her mother had lost her nervous posture, surprised into laughing by the antics of her youngest son. Joseph had always made her smile. He was the one Emma Stewart had run away from home for, the one she'd been determined to save, though Razia had let Aziza know they'd never been after Joseph at all. They'd wanted her from the start. Greg pulled her into his arms, and she listened to Penn's quiet sobs. She didn't want to spend another moment crying in helpless despair for her brothers. For Adam. Not when she could do something about it. Aziza knew the person responsible for his death now. She had power now. She didn't have to wait for Razia to show himself again. She'd play with Ram and do her own investigating with the regulars at Underbridge. She'd make nice with the Alpha and find out what the enforcers knew that they weren't sharing, and make sure they didn't punish an innocent djinn for someone else's crimes. She'd meet Tay's book collector, if they could find him, and she would learn everything she could, everything her blood had yet to tell her about what she was and why the djinnir really wanted her. Then she would find whoever was responsible for the current killings, and make one of them tell her where she could get her hands on the pontificating punk rocker who believed she would thank him for the things he'd done. This time, Razia wouldn't get away. We should develop this film.
I'll take it in first thing tomorrow, Greg murmured. Aziza Jane, why don't we stay home tonight? We don't have to go anywhere, and maybe a night in with your family is exactly what the doctor ordered.
No. Handing Greg the roll of film, she slipped out of his arms and put Adam's things back in the box. The only cure for what I'm feeling is hidden somewhere in that club. I need to find out the truth before another girl suffers and they hang Ram for it. Besides, she added, squeezing Penn affectionately, it's not all gloom and doom. I have some people who are dying to meet you. A girl, Greg. A real live girl. A girl she was oddly excited to meet as well.
Greg groaned. You are not hooking me up with a dominatrix again.
I don't think so, she answered playfully. She didn't look like a dominatrix, but I only saw her from a distance, so I could be wrong. Don't judge, buddy. You had fun the last time.
Penn stood up and shook her head.
Though this is far less terrifying than a discussion about murder victims, I believe it is my cue to leave, she said on her way out. I would like to be too old and infirm for this conversation. I regret only that I cannot claim innocence.
enjoying the change in subject too much to let it drop. Aziza raised her voice to be heard in the other room.
"We know you're not innocent, Pin. But are you saying Hill hasn't ever gotten her mitts on a pair of those enforcer handcuffs? No slap and tickle? Not even once?"
Greg backed away, his hands in the air.
"Pin, please don't answer that question. Let me fill in the blanks later when I'm alone. For now, we should just let this troublemaker get dressed."
"Good plan," Aziza said. "Especially since I've scheduled a scene with the Persian prince. What do you think, Greg?" She held up both hangers. "Disobedient schoolgirl or surprisingly restrained?" Greg froze.
"You're playing with Ram? Tonight?"
She nodded and lowered her voice. "An undercover operation. Werewolves? Ha! The Fireborn doesn't need no stinking werewolves. I'm justice, remember? I told you, I plan on doing some investigating of my own."
"I remember that expression on your face, Aziza Jane, and it usually spells trouble. You're putting yourself directly in the path of danger. Again. I take it Brandon doesn't know about this plan?"
When Aziza smiled in response, he shook his head, walking toward the door with a pained sigh of resignation.
"Of course he doesn't. He'd kill Ram the second he touched you. I feel like slugging the jerk myself for letting you do this when you're so vulnerable."
She pretended to misunderstand him. "I'm not vulnerable. They want me alive. And if any of them come near me, I can take care of myself."
"I didn't mean that, and you know it." He sighed again. "I can see that I'm not going to be able to talk you out of it, but I wish to hell I could. This is not the best idea you've ever had. And it relies 100% on Ram no longer affecting you the way he always has, and him not being connected to the violent, knife-happy killers."
"He's not, Greg." She chose not to acknowledge her continued reaction to Ram, just her faith in him. He paused with his hands on the knob.
"Right. Because your Jin Karen are known for their reliability and pacifism, like Chev."
The door closed behind him, and she wove unsteadily on her feet before a strange dizziness brought Aziza to her knees. Her forehead was burning. She looked down at her hand. She'd forgotten she was still concealed from her visit with Tay. What was happening now? What power had she inadvertently called? "Soon more than one will be taken." "What?" She touched the mark on her head, knowing now it must be in the shape of a feather. But why? She was hearing the voice all the time now. What made this different? The voice was a whisper, like wind blowing through the weeds. "What does that mean?" "Under the bridge, another will be chosen for bloodletting. Still another will be betrayed, with no power to resist. Both are the Fireborns to protect." Under the bridge had to mean underbridge. She had a feeling the enforcers would discover, if they hadn't already, that the third body had come from there as well. It all led back to underbridge. She just wasn't sure why. "I don't suppose I get to know who is in danger or exactly when I'll need to do this protecting?" "What the sand conceals, it will reveal. But only to you. Soon." "Nice and cryptic as usual," she growled. "Two more women. Innocent women. Both were hers to protect. All she had to do was find out who they were before it was too late." Chapter 5. Greg was still unhappy but at her side when they headed down the dark staircase that led to the heart of the club. The loud beat of the music pounding in her ears, thrumming through her veins, made it hard to hear anything else, hard to think. She loved it. Underbridge was the best-kept secret in London. A members-only club with a world-famous DJ, a state-of-the-art dungeon, and a room for every kink you could imagine. It was a two-story underground club beside a busy bridge, its front door giving off the unobtrusive appearance of a public utilities entrance, and it had obviously been designed with that theme in mind.
A latticework of steel trusses hung above their heads, and the glass-topped, Art Deco metal garbage bin tables made it feel as if they were really gathering beneath the London Bridge, doing dirty things in the dark. The music, the scent of lust and sweat in the air, the crowded, excited energy as soon as they hit the last stair and entered the main section of the club. All of it sent adrenaline rushing through her veins. This place did exactly what it was designed to do, made her want to join the fun, turned her on. Especially tonight. Despite her earlier shower session, Aziza felt the need for release. The last few days had been a roller coaster of emotion. Brandon, the body, Adam's box, Tay's potential human encyclopedia. Ram. She needed to be here, for information and to let off some steam. Aziza absently wished she'd chosen the schoolgirl outfit just to drive Ram crazy. Instead, she'd followed his instructions and dressed more conservatively, wearing a costume barely sexy enough to allow her inside. She slid her hands self-consciously down her black PVC skirt, the metal rings and black laced corset effect of which was mimicked by her waist cincher. A khaki t-shirt emblazoned with a bleeding heart and torn artfully at the shoulders, as well as black knee-high stockings and a pair of combat boots, completed her tame attire. Definitely restrained.
"There's an open table away from the dance floor," Greg shouted in her ear. "We should be able to hear ourselves think over there."
As he used his height to guide her through the crush, Aziza refrained from expressing her disappointment. She didn't want to think. She wanted to feel. She wanted to find Ram, forget about everything else, and be the wild, reckless Aziza Jane she used to be. The girl who lived like she was dying, instead of the one responsible for other people's lives. She wanted to move closer to the rope demonstration currently in progress on the elevated stage in the corner. That was where they would be, where she'd told him they needed to be. Where was Ram? Her skin was heating, and her blood burned with the need to... No, she scolded herself firmly. No burning anything. Chill out. Think blizzards. Ice storms. The last thing you need to do is start this club on fire. You have more control than that now. She wasn't sure, though. The excitement buzzing under her skin wasn't hers alone. What was inside her was desperate for the new experience, for the sting of the whip and whatever tortures her djinn had devised for her. They moved past a group of familiar women wearing matching shorts, electrical tape over their nipples, and little else. Aziza had seen them when she'd come here before. "Hey, ladies!" One of them, the redhead, squealed in delight and wrapped her arms around Aziza before her friends could drag her away.
"I remember that gorgeous face. I was hoping you'd come back, but you're wearing too many clothes again," she shouted over the music. "You are too snog-worthy to be hiding that much skin. We have extra tape if it gets too hot in here for you."
"I might take you up on that," Aziza shouted back. "I'm playing on the stage tonight, with Ram."
"Lucky girl," the woman laughed. "We'll be watching and we'll find you after."
They continued moving away, disappearing before Aziza could respond. The threesome definitely made an impression. She knew instinctively they would be her in. They were regulars. They would have known all the women killed, including the latest. Which meant they hadn't found out about girl number 3 yet, either. The atmosphere was too upbeat. When Aziza turned back toward the empty seats they were headed for, she saw West's roommate Chai at the next table, and couldn't look away. She was kneeling on her stool, watching the stage, as distracted by what was happening on it as Aziza had been moments before. Tonight, instead of the shorts and sports bra she'd performed on the aerial hoop in, she wore a sheer, purple tulle skirt that danced around her thighs, knee-high boots, and a nearly sheer black halter top that did little to hide breasts that were surprisingly full for her small frame. How she managed to give the appearance of an innocent ingenue in that outfit was a puzzle, but Aziza had to give her credit for making it look effortless.
She took a soothing breath in order to hide her reaction. She wasn't sure she could explain what she was feeling if she tried. Recognition? Admiration? And something else. Something she'd only felt in the presence of Ram and Chev. With Brandon. Like a slender thread connected them to her, slowly tugging her closer from somewhere deep inside. Was Chai Jin? Some other supernatural creature Aziza had yet to meet? Maybe she's the one you're supposed to protect. Greg stopped and turned so suddenly she bumped into him. What's wrong? He gripped her shoulders, more to steady himself than to hold her still.
Try not to be obvious, but I don't think you'll need to introduce me to a girl tonight. I believe I have spotted the mother of my children.
Aziza's lips twitched.
You don't have kids, Greg. I would know.
He combed his hands through his sandy hair.
Not yet, he agreed. But I'd love to practice. Why is she here tonight? You have to cancel this thing with Ram, Aziza Jane. I can't look after you and keep up my cool illusion at the same time.
Sorry, I'm not canceling, but you don't have to watch if you're squeamish.
She leaned sideways to glance past Greg, noticing West had returned with a tray of drinks in his hands.
I get the feeling you're going to forgive me and love me even more in 5 minutes than you do now.
Impossible, he responded automatically, then paused. What do you mean?
She gently shoved him out of the way and moved toward the table.
West, we're here.
West heard her over the music and turned toward them, a broad smile on his face. Damn, he looked good tonight. He even managed to pull off one of those macho utility kilts with pockets she'd always threatened to buy for Greg, along with combat boots and a sleeveless white shirt that did nothing to hide his well-defined muscles, or the scarification marks and tattoos that covered both his shoulders. They were like carnal bookends, the two of them, West and Chai, both beautiful in an unmistakably sexual way.
Aziza Jane, at last, he said. And you must be the infamous Gregory Prophet.
Poor Greg. She knew he was thinking that the woman he wanted to practice with was already taken. She had to put him out of his misery.
Greg, this is Ram's friend West and his friend and roommate, Chai? Win! Chai Win!
The girl had hopped off the stool and come to stand beside West, excitement practically vibrating off of her body. Aziza could feel the hum.
Ram told us you were a dazzler, Aziza, but he never mentioned your Greg was foxy too, did he? That's brilliant. Give us a cooch.
A cooch? This exotic Eurasian beauty was Welsh? Chai stood on her toes to wrap her arms around Aziza. Her scent was intoxicating, but her eyes were a simple warm brown, not the color of gemstones. Not gin, then. And far too small to be a werewolf. Unable to help herself, Aziza hugged her warmly in return, then stepped back and winked at Greg.
Hear that, buddy? She thinks you're foxy.
Greg sent her a warning look as he held out his hand.
Thank you, but you probably shouldn't listen to anything Ram says about me. He's not my biggest fan.
Batting his hand away, Chai wrapped her arms around his waist, while West looked on laughing.
Forgive her. She doesn't believe in handshakes, but make sure you check your pockets when she's done.
Chai turned her head to stick out her tongue at him, her arms still firmly wrapped around the red-faced Greg.
He's having a laugh. Ignore him.
The sensuality of Greg's smile as he looked down at Chai startled Aziza.
Ignore who?
Good man, Chai responded, licking her lips. For that, you can sit beside me.
West took Aziza's hand and pulled her over to their table.
I had a feeling they would get along, and I'm glad you came, Aziza Jane. It means the drink I brought for you won't go to waste.
Drink? She sat down at the table and noticed that there were 4 shot glasses on the tray and a bottle of tequila. A man after her own heart.
I haven't seen that in a while, she laughed. You are a southern boy, aren't you?
West nodded, pouring the liquor into each of the glasses as Chai and Greg joined them at the table.
Atlanta, Georgia, born and raised. What about you?
Dallas, Greg answered for her. We grew up a few blocks away from each other.
I'm surrounded by sexy Americans who'll soon have me soused on Mexican spirits. Cheers to me.
Chai lifted her glass and threw her head back, swallowing the shot in one gulp. Aziza already liked her. She swallowed her own shot and felt the burning warmth spread from her throat down to her chest.
That's good. I needed that. So tell me, how did a Georgia writer end up in a kinky London dungeon with a Welsh roommate and a ram?
And where was Ram?
That is a story.
West sat down and leaned his elbows on the table, his light brown eyes never straying from hers.
Not one we usually tell until we get to know someone a little bit better.
Chai laughed and leaned closer to Greg, who looked like a man whose world was being rocked.
We know them, though, don't we? I feel like we do, don't you, Greg? And from what Ram said, we'll be knowing Aziza intimately not too long from now. Tell them before she leaves us, West. I love this story.
What Ram said. Aziza took a calming breath. West poured more shots all around.
Yes, ma'am. Once upon a time, about a year ago, being a young man of means from a good family with a college education and ancient history and philosophy under my belt, I made the very pragmatic and responsible decision to become a writer. I planned to rent a Tuscan villa and spend my days drinking wine and typing out my masterpiece in the solitude and sunshine.
He paused for effect.
Then for some godforsaken reason, I ended up in Cardiff.
Chai clinked her glass to his.
Where I picked his pocket.
You skipped ahead again, West chuckled. But yes, you did. Though it wasn't your fault. You were too young to know better when you fell in with that crowd.
True enough, she said, a momentary shadow crossing her features. And too scared to climb out of the hole I'd dug when I realized I should. If West hadn't been quick enough to follow me and save me from spending my life reenacting my take on Oliver Twist, I wouldn't be here now, helping the great writer and his research and exploring this big, glorious city that it only took me 22 years and a tick over 2 hours to get to.
Greg reached over to cover her hand.
So we owe West another toast for saving you.
Chai's smile was so exquisitely vulnerable when she looked at Greg that Aziza didn't have the heart to dig any further, despite her curiosity. She grinned to lighten the mood, taking the bottle and filling their glasses again, even though her last one was still untouched. Not only was she playing tonight, which made overindulging a bad idea, but she needed to keep her head clear to find answers afterwards.
I saved Greg from being shoved into a locker by the school bully.
Thank you.
Sarcasm dripped from Greg's voice, and she knew if they were alone, she'd be in trouble.
That's always a great story to share with new people.
You're just mad I beat you to the overshare punch. It was your turn the last time.
She patted his shoulder.
There's no shame in it. That girl was a mutant. I'm serious. Her nickname was Mutant Mindy.
West and Chai chuckled, and Aziza noticed the way they looked at each other, as if communicating silently. Had she read them wrong?
Look, there really is no subtle way to ask this, and since we're sharing, I think we should get it out of the way. Do you two play here together, and are you simply looking for another couple to join in? Because Greg and I are strictly platonic, and if it's just him you're after, he's a one-person-on-the-ride-at-a-time kind of a guy as a rule.
She didn't want to admit she found the idea of a ride including West and Chai arousing.
Aziza Jane Stewart.
Greg had taken his shot and was glaring now, looking decidedly uncomfortable. She refilled his glass, risking another sideways glance to see if he was really upset. Was Chai making him nervous, or was he worried Aziza would destroy his chances?
What? That's a perfectly reasonable question considering where we are,
and the fact that they're friends with Ram. What kind of irresponsible best friend would I be if I didn't ask?
It is a fair question. West leaned forward and looked into Aziza's eyes. We're not a couple, any more than you and Gregory are. Chai enjoys the community here, and though my tastes are tamer, the people watching is mesmerizing.
She could practically hear Greg swallow.
His tastes are tamer?
Chai chuckled softly.
Don't let him scare you. I like to try new things, sure, but my tastes aren't as over-the-top as he makes them sound.
West winked at Aziza.
The point is, we're both currently single. We, like you, simply see safety in numbers. We chose to walk the world with each other for a time, instead of wandering alone.
Aziza leaned her elbow on the table and grinned at him, fighting her desire to develop a hard crush. She already had too many to keep track of.
Good answer. He's a writer.
Chai rolled her eyes as if unimpressed. Looking at them was like looking in a funhouse mirror. She knew Greg felt it too, an instant kinship, as if the four of them had always been friends. Chai seemed to count on West, the same way Aziza had always depended on Greg. Both men had been lifesavers in more ways than one. The music changed, and Chai slid off her stool and wrapped her hands around Greg's biceps.
Would you be offended if a girl asked you to dance?
I would be offended if she didn't.
Greg stood and followed the energetic pickpocket turned aerialist and research assistant onto the dance floor. Aziza frowned. She'd never seen Greg like this. He'd had girlfriends on and off since he'd grown out of his awkward, dorky phase. But none of them was ever serious. At least, he'd never talked about them in more than an offhand way. And she'd never seen him spun at first sight. Not even Lola the Dominatrix had done that. She didn't blame him. Chai Nguyen had a way about her. A way that even Aziza had a difficult time resisting. As strange as it was to see her best friend so focused on someone else, from the instant Aziza had seen her at the hangar, she'd known they were meant to meet, to be friends. She sipped her shot glass thoughtfully. I think I've lost my roommate to your roommate. Another thought hit her, and she groaned.
Poor Tay.
Who is Tay?
West sounded amused.
Just a girl. Who used to be a boy, in love with Greg's giant brain.
West snorted. Cleared that right up. I didn't realize you were a lightweight. Tequila might not have been the best idea I've ever had, especially since you're planning to play with Ram. But you may be onto something. Chai has always been open about her attractions, but she's not usually drawn to someone like Greg. I'm glad. He seems like a decent guy, and she's had a rough life. Something like that would be good for her soul.
She was drawn to bad boys. Aziza could hear the undertones, and she could relate. Wasn't that why she was so surprised to find herself in a relationship with Brandon, the ultimate rule enforcer? And why she wasn't really surprised that she still had feelings for Ram? I know how she feels.
I can see that. You look sad for a minute there. Man troubles of your own? Ram mentioned you were seeing a police detective. I'm gathering he isn't into the lifestyle, and that's why Ram is stepping in. Am I right?
She nodded. He was right about the man troubles. Plural. Ram and Brandon. Brandon and Ram. After what Penn told her this afternoon, her anger toward Brandon had faded, though she should have been ticked that in his never-ending quest to protect her, he hadn't done what she'd asked. He must have some serious daddy issues, because it was obvious the Alpha drove Brandon nuts. She'd seen him change after one of the man's phone calls, seen him tense every time a meeting with her was mentioned. What was he so worried about? That his father would use her? Or that she would embarrass him? Nothing had changed. He was still fighting her battles, and she was still what she was. Even when they were happy together, something inside her wanted more, chafed at his possessiveness as much as she craved it. Maybe she wasn't cut out for a relationship. She had issues of her own.
She turned to West.
Do you know where Ram is?
Speaking of issues and needs.
He shook his head.
He said you worry about him. Or is that excitement I hear?
He apparently says a lot.
West shrugged.
He's a lightweight when it comes to tequila, too. You shouldn't. Worry about him, I mean. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't a first-prize ass when we met, but whatever he was going through, I think he's coming out of it now. Ram is lucky to have you as a friend. He has no idea how lucky. But he will learn.
He's lucky to have you, Aziza countered. I wanted to thank you for that, giving him a place to stay. He hasn't made it easy for me to help him lately.
Pride is a stubborn thing. It can lead to the worst kinds of decisions. But he chose to accept my offer of hospitality for what it was. It means he wants a chance to have more.
He gestured toward the stage with his chin.
Speak of the devil, and he will appear to steal you away from me.
She shifted in her seat and looked over at the stage where someone was setting up a freestanding St. Andrew's cross. Holy shit. Ram was there, on the far edge of the stage, while two regulars set their scene. He was shirtless, his arms crossed, and he was looking straight at her, just like her dream. She swallowed.
I should go.
Since Greg is busy, I'll have to fill in.
West covered her hand, and she jumped when a feeling like static electricity zapped her skin.
I assume you two negotiated earlier, since he hasn't come over to get you.
If telling him he could do whatever he wanted was negotiating?
Yes?
From your expression, I'm going to assume that in this case, negotiate means you agreed to do whatever he wanted.
West's laugh was rueful.
Ram has skills. I'll give him that. It's inhuman the way he draws you all in. To think, before I met him, I thought I was charming.
You are.
She thought about her fantasy that afternoon. Believe me, West, you are.
Aziza stood and began her push through the crowd toward the stage, thinking she really sucked at thinking. She was so much better at making rash decisions, living for the moment. This was more her speed, at least the old Aziza's speed. She knew what to expect from this, how it would make her feel. Only for some reason she knew it would be better as a Fireborn, better with Ram. She wanted what he was going to give her, to play harder than she had before, to stop skirting the edges of what she wanted and take more. Practically trembling with excitement already, Aziza tried to calm herself by concentrating on her larger plan for the evening. She'd let Ram play her on stage without using any Fireborn abilities, so that everyone who was looking could see. She'd bond with the girls during her aftercare, and find out if there was anything that linked the murder victims besides being members who'd played with Ram. Maybe unearth some bit of evidence she could follow that would guide the enforcers away from him and back to the real killers. None of that was unreasonable or unrealistic. None of that was a lie. But as she moved closer to Ram, her body already tingling with anticipation and desire, she knew none of those reasons was why she was going to submit to him. She needed this. Craved it. Her fantasy had it dead on. She was representing the part of herself that was too powerful to be hidden away. Inside her veins, it was singing, screaming for release. Ram will give us what we need. Aziza drew a shaky breath when he took her hand and guided her onto the stage.
I wasn't sure you'd come,
he murmured in her ear as the music pulsed around them.
Changing your mind?
No, sir.
She shook her head, skimming the crowd and seeing three distinctive bouncing girls, and farther away, Greg whispering in Chai's ear as she watched Aziza with wide, interested eyes.
Let's stick to the plan.
She felt him smile against her temple.
By all means,
he purred.
Remember when I told you how I watched you? Back when I was just your silent guardian? Your invisible shadow? When you wanted to try everything, and I had the best seat in the house?
Yes, she whispered, allowing him to guide her to the dark wood cross. It was padded with red vinyl and fitted with leather suspension cuffs for her wrists and ankles. Beside it, a small table held items that instantly made her thighs clench and her breath leave her body in a rush. 2 floggers, 1 leather, and 1 rubber. A dragon tail, one of those slender, tiny, evil sticks topped with an innocent-looking heart. Oh, shit. His laugh was devilish.
I paid attention, Aziza. I know how much you can take, how much you need. I know you never tried and that no one else ever came close to giving you enough. We aren't in private and you don't belong to me, so we can't use the other toys you enjoy.
She let him raise her arms and attach her wrist to the sturdy cross, wondering what he was planning to do about her clothes as he continued.
The ones you like to have them put inside you and turn on while you are being played. I promise you won't need them.
She shuddered. The front of her body was pressed against the vinyl padding, and she was facing the wall on the side of the stage, turned at an angle so everyone could see what he was doing to her. The perfect angle for West to have a view of her backside from his table. Ram hadn't attached the ankle cuffs yet, and she felt, more than saw, him kneel behind her, unlacing and removing her boots and socks, until her feet were encased in nothing but her sheer black stockings. With the loss of her tall boots, her arms were pulled tighter by the cuffs, and her heels barely touched the floor. He rose and pressed himself against her, his fingers easily loosening the corset around her waist and dropping it near the table, then reaching for her skirt. Every action was arousing her, making her feel lightheaded, making her heart race. Focus on me, Aziza. I'm taking off your skirt now, and then I'm going to cut the back of your shirt open.
Cut? She was struggling to focus. With what?
Ram held up a gleaming, single-edge knife in her line of vision, and her breath jammed in her throat. She hadn't seen that on the table.
The show, love,
he muttered against her hair. She could smell him. Wild winds and spice. Ram.
Are you ready to give them a show?
Like Lois Lane, the killers with a fondness for knives, the pretense, only this didn't feel anything like pretend.
Yes.
Yes, what?
He prompted in a silky tone. She swallowed.
Yes, sir.
Her skirt dropped to her ankles, and she stepped out of it, turning her head to see bodies pressing closer to the stage. Watching. Everyone was watching. She could feel them, only now she was choosing it, wanting it, letting them all see. It was exhilarating. She pulled at the back of her skirt and she felt the cool slide of the blade at the top of her spine. Even over the music, she could hear the fabric rending as he sliced it away, and the sound sent a shivering sensation all over her body.
Aziza, I believe you have lost your faithful companion to young Chai Wen. They've disappeared into the dungeon, her favorite room. I'm glad. Now that one small part of you that wants to pretend to be a good girl can disappear. There's no one here who will judge you for letting go. Will you let go for me, Aziza?
Yes, sir.
The cool air hit her back as he undid her bra and spread the fabric apart, baring her skin to his gaze. When he attached the stiff leather ankle cuffs, Aziza moaned at the snug restraints.
Yes.
She needed to be held down so she didn't float away or burst into 1,000 pieces. It dawned on her then that Ram wasn't playing to the crowd the way he usually did. He wasn't doing a demo or performing. He was quiet, intent. She could feel his focus on her, or she imagined she could. His arousal, his restraint, his desire to make her scream.
Look at all that glorious bare skin. I've seen you naked before, Aziza.
His voice was low as he picked up the flogger, though she knew no one could hear them over the bass.
I've been inside you. Felt the heat on your thighs as you rode me. Had your lips wrapped around my cock.
He traced her spine with the soft, slender leather tails, making her shiver again.
But I have never seen anything more erotic than you bound for me, under my control.
She moaned, letting her neck relax until her face pressed against the cross's small forehead rest. He hadn't even started yet, and she felt like she was going to burn up. Burn. Ram, she whispered, lifting her head as the thought occurred to her. What if I lose control?
Trust me, Aziza. This is what you need.
The first thudding lash across her upper back made her gasp, and heat began to build under her skin as he painted a pattern of slow, even strokes over her shoulders and back and the bare cheeks of her ass. She hummed with pleasure as the pattern repeated over and over, and she squirmed with enjoyment as the strokes grew heavier, landing in the same spots with uncanny precision every time. This was what she needed, this intensity and heat, reminding her that she was alive, still Aziza, and still alive. There was a brief pause, and then a stingy slash across her shoulders made her shout in surprise and pain. He'd switched to the fucking rubber flogger, something he obviously knew she had turned down before. He watched you. He promised to give you more. Fuck! She cried as he resumed the same pattern, the stinging strikes adding an entirely new dimension to the warmth under her skin. Aziza writhed in its thrall, her mind processing the bright pain into something darker, something hungrier, while her restrained body instinctively sought an escape it couldn't have. Fuck!
More. Yes, Aziza.
Ram's voice seemed distant, but his need was as clear as if he'd whispered in her ear.
We did fuck. You loved it. And I want to do it again more than I want to be taken out of exile.
He let the flogger's tails wrap around her hip, and the cruel biting sting made her scream.
But I want this, too.
When he switched to an underhand swing to catch the tender bottom curves of her buttocks, everything pent up inside her pounded to be let out. The pain of her losses. The pressure of what she needed to be for so many people. The power. The desire that was only intensifying with every evil, heavenly stroke of the flogger. The fireborn.
Oh, God, she sobbed. Please, Ram, I can't take it, fuck, please.
She had thought she'd be able to, but she couldn't let go. Not of everything. It wasn't safe. He had to know it wasn't safe.
Ram, please.
He set down the flogger and traced her back with his fingertips, his lips. The change sent waves of delicious shivers all over her body.
You can take everything I'm going to give you. This is only the warm-up. Now you're ready for the dragon tail, my fiery Aziza. Let's see if you can make it burn hotter.
She was so wet. She'd never been able to get this aroused during a scene without a plug or a vibrator inside her. But this, nearly naked on the stage with Ram making her skin burn and sting, making her scream, was soaking her thong and making her all too aware of her spread-eagled position on the cross, the empty ache between her thighs. The snap of the dragon tail felt like hot liquid metal dripping on her shoulders and her ass, but it was more than painful. Her vision went hazy, and she squeezed her eyes shut, her chest tightening as she gasped for breath. Then the shout inside her filled her throat as she threw back her head and gave herself up to it. pleasure. Endorphins and lust and pain so intense it made her want to laugh until she couldn't stop. Until she cried. Let go. Ram. Oh God, what was he doing to her? It was so different. She'd always found pleasure in the forbidden. In whips and handcuffs and playing for fun. This was more. Much more. You need more. You are more. Like flying. It felt like she was soaring so high she might never come down.
Are you still with me, Aziza?
Ram's voice sounded even farther away. Stay with me. Experience it all. The lash of the deceptively thick, tapered whip had stopped, and Ram was rubbing his lips over the tops of her shoulders, nuzzling her hair aside to kiss her neck, anchoring her, and yet somehow making her fly higher.
I know what you need. I need it too. If only like this. Give me this.
He dropped kisses down her spine, lower and lower, until he was on his knees behind her. She felt his forearms brush the insides of her thighs, and then a light but distinctive thwack against her sex made her inhale sharply. The evil stick. Its little heart-shaped plastic tip left a hot imprint even through her thong. Jesus, had he gotten his powers back? How else could he aim it so accurately from behind her? Fuck! Fuck, fuck, fuck! She ground out through clenched teeth. Son of a bitch! Damn it, Ram! He pressed his mouth to one bare cheek of her ass and groaned.
This is all I can have. My reward. Come, Aziza. Like this, in front of everyone. Obey me and come for me.
Ram was flicking her with the slender, evil stick again and again. Not hard enough to really mark her, just enough to make the lips of her sex heat, her clit. It felt like he was inside her, his fingers, his tongue. Her body was on fire, but she wasn't in flames. Just burning with the desire to obey him, to come. She opened her eyes and shouted Ram's name again, lust and shock in her voice as she took in the scene around her. A crowded club pulsing with brilliantly colored lights. But not her club. Not her crowd. Or, not only her crowd. The two realities seemed to be overlapping. She hadn't felt sick. She hadn't seen the ripples. How had it happened? She couldn't think. Jin. She pressed her temple against the cross to see the dance floor, where bodies were wrapped around each other, moving to the music. Was this Kaf? The Jin world? Was there a version of Underbridge there? Oh, God.
Yes, sweet Aziza.
Ram muttered with raw passion rasping from his throat.
Come for me.
They were right in front of her. Two Jin couples were naked right in front of her. On the stage with them, watching them as they found their own pleasure. A woman with eyes like blue diamonds sat astride a dark-skinned man in a chair, his hands squeezing her breast as she rode him and watched Aziza squirm.
Come, the woman mouthed.
Beside them on the floor, two men were on their knees, facing her. A ruby-eyed bald man thrusting into his lover so hard and fast his hips were a blur. Jin.
Oh, God.
Come, he smiled. Ram stopped thumping the stick and pressed his thumb hard against her clit until she cried out in ecstasy.
No rules, Aziza. No limits. Come for me.
She came. Ram! Yes! Ram! Yes! Her neck arched, and she saw flashes of light behind her closed lids. She was flying and surrounded by colors. So many colors. So alive.
I'm alive.
So was Aziza.
Chapter 6. What had she done? Aziza's legs would barely hold her as she walked down the hall toward the restrooms. Once Ram had undone her restraints and helped her gather her clothes, he'd tried to convince her to go upstairs with him, to talk to him, let him hold her, comfort her, and help her come down after the heights she'd reached on the stage. It was the expected thing for him to do, and Aziza knew she needed it, but she couldn't do it. She was dropping too hard, too fast, and he didn't need to deal with the thoughts that were coming with the emotions. She hugged him quickly, told him she'd be back, and escaped the stage, still in nothing but her thong. She needed to breathe. A part of her wanted to use Mayette's witness to stop everything, but she didn't think she could handle the silence. Not yet. The hum of the crowd and the beat of the music were soothing. Underbridge was back. Her Underbridge. Not the Djinn Orgy Palace where she'd momentarily been the starring attraction while Ram was playing her. She passed the locker rooms, where members changed from their street clothes into their costumes, and went straight to the ladies' bathroom heading for the sinks. Setting her clothes down in one, she let the cool water in another run over her wrists while she looked at herself in the mirror. Her face was so pale, the barely noticeable dash of freckles above her cheekbones stood out beneath her wide, dilated blue eyes. How was she supposed to process all this? It was too much. The best play experience of her life. The release of something deep inside her that should have scarred her, but didn't. She'd seen Koff so clearly it was as if she was there for a moment, and she still felt the heat of Ram's fingers as he made her come. She should have told Brandon. She was already feeling the guilt she'd known was coming for allowing herself release with Ram, and without him. More than guilt. She needed Brandon. If he'd have been here with her, with them, she wouldn't be dropping at all. She could have flown all night with his strength holding her up. He said all she had to do was call him, but he would have stopped it. She hadn't wanted anything to stop what happened with Ram tonight, which didn't make her feel any better about herself. The bathroom door opened, and three women came in and closed the door behind themselves before Aziza could turn around. At least she wasn't the only one in her underwear anymore. Up close and in the brighter light of the ladies' room, the colorful electrical tape crossing their nipples, matching red boy shorts, and wholesome, open expressions made them look like identical, kinky Cupid dolls. The two brunettes beside the woman with wild red hair actually could be twins. The redhead started clapping when Aziza turned toward them. "Seriously, you're brilliant. That was the hottest scene we've ever seen that luscious morsel do with anyone. For a moment we thought it was one of those dark parties and he was going to bang you right there and then. He was mesmerized. And I can see why. I was right. You are even more of a knockout without clothes."
"Thank you."
"I told you we'd find you after." The woman took a small step closer. "Must have been one hell of a session. Looked like it," she said softly, as if not to scare Aziza off.
"You're a tad shaky, dear. I don't think we'd be very responsible if we let you wander off without a cuddle. Really, it's the least we can do."
"I could use a hug," she admitted. The three women didn't hesitate, wrapping their warm, mostly bare bodies around her in an affectionate embrace, as if she were an old friend.
"That's it, dear."
The ringleader of the Cupies rocked them all slowly back and forth. "Just let it go. No worries, we're right here. Nothing more important than this. Love. Just being here. Feeling whatever you feel." What Aziza felt were emotions choking her that she had to hold back. She couldn't let them out right now. She didn't dare.
"Don't think, remember? At least about yourself. Remember why you are here."
She gently ducked out of the comforting embrace, trying to focus.
"I really needed that. I am still shaky. We talked about the cross and floggers, but I wasn't expecting the knife."
She hadn't been expecting any of it, but they didn't have to know that.
Oh, now. But that was my favorite